Radio.com.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me on the Bettors Box, BettingTheBook.com's MLB betting podcast. I'm your slightly under the weather host, Adam Burke. Happy to have you with me for the 50th episode of this show. Pretty fitting that the 50th episode comes at the end of the regular season. The MLB playoffs begin on Tuesday night with the wild card game in the American League. I'll talk about that as well as all the other series here once we get into the show. But first off, a few things I need to get out of the way here. We have an app, Bang the Book app. For iTunes, or in iTunes, excuse me, for your iPod, iPad, iPhone, whatever Apple device you use, download that app. It's got a mock sports book, an odd screen, access to all of our articles, all kinds of great stuff in that app. And as I've been telling you, an Android app is coming soon, hopefully sometime this week. So for those of you with Android devices, just hold tight. We have not forgotten about you. I promise you that. College Football Podcast, myself and Kyle Hunter, going to be recorded on Monday and then available throughout the week before the games kick off on Saturday. Gridiron Gambling Report, myself and Cole Ryan, 2-3 week in the Super Contest, so not a positive set of results there. But that's coming your way on Tuesday. We'll talk about the Super Contest card for Week 5. Also talk about some of the other NFL games of note. Football Fridays with Joe D'Amico. Hoping that we have another episode coming up this Friday. We were back on the air last Friday. Joe had a strong day of thoughts on that show, so you know, please make sure that you're tuning in for that. We've got NHL team previews. I'll have Major League Baseball series previews coming out early on Monday. This show being recorded on Sunday nights now, but I'll have the MLB series previews out on Monday once all of the rotations are set up. And then we've got college basketball and NBA team previews going up this week as well. Check out Galaxy Sports, one of our sportsbook affiliates. They're free to enter streak challenge. Just get 5 right, get $25 in free play, meet the successive levels, and then you'll be able to get more free play throughout. So hit up Galaxy Sports. Go through the Sportsbook Review page at Bang the Book for an exclusive deposit bonus, 100% deposit bonus. Not a whole lot of books are offering that, so make sure you take advantage of that. And then you can get down on the Major League Baseball playoffs. So the format for today's show, obviously going to be a little bit different. I'm going to have some general thoughts on betting the playoffs. I'll have an overview of the National League playoffs, recap some of my thoughts from last week, some AL playoff thoughts. Predominantly, the NL series begin after I'd be back on the air again on Thursday, so I'll have more thoughts for the National League on Thursday. But the American League, Texas and Toronto start on Thursday night, so I want to make sure that I get some thoughts in about that series. But first and foremost here, to talk about betting the playoffs in general, I think betting the Major League playoffs is extremely, extremely difficult. If you're sitting there with a full game wager, you're going to be on pins and needles throughout because the lines are tight, the games are tighter. It's a lower run scoring environment in playoffs. So you've got more situational baseball, more bunting, giving up outs to move runners over, all those types of things. Managers will match up extensively throughout the postseason. The starters don't tend to stick around as long unless they're being really dominant. Managers looking to get those guys out before they have to go through the lineup a third time. You'll rarely see a guy go through a lineup for a fourth time. But there could be lots of momentum swings in the Major League Baseball playoffs. So to me, I think live betting is the best move to make here. If you want to bet full games, maybe you don't have the bankroll to do live betting. Maybe you don't have the availability to sit there throughout the game and do live betting. You know, then I'm not going to deter you from doing that. But, you know, I do think that live betting with all the momentum swings, with the middling opportunities, you've got arbitrage opportunities. You know, I think that live betting is the way to go. We see a lot of momentum swings in these games, and every decision that a manager makes is put under the microscope. And if you follow a lot of the baseball people on Twitter, specifically those that are in tune with advanced statistics, with run expectancy, win expectancy, those types of things, you'll be able to see some spots where maybe it would make some sense to get some live bets down. You know, bullpen usage, extremely, extremely important in the playoffs. You will see guys used and abused in the playoffs. And, you know, we've already seen it a little bit this past week. The Rangers, you know, trying to close that game out on Saturday. Jeff Banister was using some guys for their fifth straight day. The Astros used Oliver Perez 6 straight days here down the stretch. You know, there's no turning back for these players or these managers. Adrenaline will take over. Pitchers will not say, you know, hey, I'm unavailable today because I've worked 3 straight days. Pitchers aren't going to do that. You know, and there are off days throughout the playoffs, so that's nice. But a lot of things to be aware of, a lot of variables. This is why I think live betting is the way to go But you know, if you do want to get down in the full game or first five bets, you know, take some of the volatility of bullpens out of it, you know, then I think that's something you can certainly do. And you can hit me up on Twitter at Skating Tripods. You can ask about any of my thoughts. And then, you know, we'll have game previews here at Bang the Book. And then you'll also have my series previews to go to as well. So you know, you will have a lot of resources and also this show twice a week throughout the playoffs. So, you know, plenty of opportunities to get baseball analysis. And you know, I'm just a tweet away. I answer everybody that tweets at me. So, you know, if you're looking for any kind of direction, just feel free to reach out. So for the National League playoffs, I said last week on last Sunday's show that my pick for the National League playoffs is the New York Mets. I'm not backing off of that pick. And the reason why is because of the Pittsburgh Pirates having to host this one game wild card round against the Chicago Cubs. I like the Pirates a lot, but this is the game that worries me. I think if the Pirates get through this game, I think they beat the Cardinals. Similarly, I think if the Cubs get through this game, I also think that they beat the Cardinals. But Jake Arrieta, Garrett Cole in Pittsburgh on Tuesday night, going to be a great, or on Wednesday night, I should say, a great, great environment for this game. Honestly, if I had to take a side, not really knowing the number, well, I can double check on that here while I'm on the air, I think I would go with Pittsburgh. You know, they've got home field advantage in this game. They've been through this situation before. And it's a very, very difficult situation to be in. Looking at the number here, the Cubs actually minus 115 road favorite. That's kind of the average number in the market. And the big reason for that is because of Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta over the last, three and a half months has just been outstanding. Probably going to win the National League Cy Young. Here are some numbers for you. Over Arrieta's last 20 starts, he is 16-1. The Cubs are 18-2 in those 20 starts. Arrieta has a 147-27 strikeout to walk ratio in 147 innings. So a strikeout per inning for him. Only 76 hits allowed in those 147 innings. A 0.86 ERA. A 150, 200, 210 slash against. 12% swinging strike rate. Those numbers are incredible. Those are just off the charts. If there's anybody that you want pitching in a game to, you know, prolong your season, right now Jake Arrieta is probably that guy. He's not given up more than three runs in a start since June 16th. So Arrieta, you know, and if you look at this game, a total of 5.5 in the betting market, a 5.5 for this game at some places, or a juiced 6 with juice on the under. So, you know, this game expected to be very low scoring, not really a big surprise there. Nobody wants to make a mistake in this game. Going to do everything they can to advance runners, go to the bullpens early if necessary, all those types of things. Looking at Garrett Cole here, 2.98 ERA for him over his last 14 starts, a 2.40, 2.80, 3.47 slash against in that span in the second half. The Pirates have a stronger, deeper bullpen, and they also have a bullpen that's been in situations like this before. You know, looking at this game, to me, I think it's a toss-up. I think the edge goes to the Pirates with experience and home field. There's a lot of recency bias in this line for the Cubs because of how Arrieta's pitched, and deservedly so, to be honest with you. I mean, Jake Arrieta has been the best pitcher in baseball over the last 3.5 months. But, excuse me, if I'm looking at this game, I'm looking at the Pirates. Again, home field advantage, a stronger bullpen, and, you know, I'm not really sure how Joe Maddon's going to handle this situation. He's kind of an unconventional guy to begin with. You know, so being in this one game winner take all playoff, as much as I don't really like Clint Hurdle as a manager either, I think that you really have to look to Pittsburgh in this one, especially if you can get them as a home dog at plus money in that environment. And we've seen what that environment has done in the past. So I would definitely have to look at Pittsburgh in that one. Some more thoughts coming up on the National League Series on Thursday's podcast, as I said, but a few key points from last week's show to keep in mind here. I talked about the St. Louis Cardinals rotation being in shambles. That's not going to change. They have a week off or so to get things squared away, figure out how they want to set up their playoff rotation. But Lance Lynn, clearly not 100%. Michael Wacha, as I talked about on last week's show, erratic release point, a drop in control. You really have to worry about him. Carlos Martinez, his season over with a shoulder strain. The Cardinals are relying really heavily on Jaime Garcia and John Lackey right now. And, you know, Lackey's been tremendous. He was pretty good in the postseason last year for the Cardinals. Jaime Garcia, you know, extreme ground ball guy, so batted ball luck's going to have to be on his side. Like I said, I think I like both of the teams in the wild card game over the Cardinals, but you know, the Cardinals kind of have that devil magic in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens there. The Dodgers managed to get home field over the Mets here. I think the Mets really needed home field advantage, but you know, now you're going to have Matt Harvey and either Steven Matz or Bartolo Colon at Citi Field in games 3 and 4. If they can steal one in Chavez Ravine against probably Kershaw or Greinke, you know, that would be fantastic for them. But you know, Steven Matz, his status a little bit in doubt here. He's got a back issue. Apparently he slept on a couch wrong. So he's got a little bit of a back issue that he's dealing with. If Matz can't go in game 4, they're going to go with Bartolo Colon. And Colon, a guy, some declining command. We'll see what happens there. Maybe they piggyback Colon with Matz. John Neese also available out of the bullpen. So it'll be very interesting to see how Terry Collins approaches this series. As I said, the Dodgers are likely going to start with Kershaw and then Greinke. They have not announced that, however, though. I want to know who comes next. Is it Alex Wood in game 3? The smart money would probably be yes. But I wonder if maybe the Dodgers try to sneak by with Alex Wood at home and maybe go to Greinke in game 3 at Citi Field, you know, depending on how that series goes. A lot of possibilities. Of course, it will likely be announced by the time you listen to this show, you know, so all this discussion may be for naught. But, you know, the Dodgers and Mets, as I talked about last week, neither one of those teams has played very well against teams with winning records. So that's definitely a concern. Maybe not in this short of a sample size, but you know, the Mets pitching staff has looked really good because they've padded numbers against teams like Miami, Atlanta, and then Philadelphia. The Dodgers, of course, you know, the bottom of the NL West, not particularly good. Kershaw and Greinke are elite no matter what. But you know, maybe some of their offensive numbers skewed a little bit because Colorado doesn't have anybody that can pitch. Arizona has a poor starting rotation. San Diego, they don't have a whole lot of depth. So we're going to find out a lot about these two teams, but I think that there's a lot to pay attention to in this series. Very compelling matchups all around, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. So American League playoff thoughts here. First and foremost, I'm really thrilled to see the Houston Astros make the playoffs. It's a huge win for Sabermetrics. As those of you that have listened to this show throughout the season know, I'm very, very big in the Sabermetrics side. I believe it's the best way to quantify player value. And it's really good to see Jeff Luhnow and his team, you know, they gambled on a lot of advanced concepts. You know, they didn't worry about strikeouts. They wanted power. They stole some bases. You know, they had a high success rate with that, so they were able to, you know, top that break-even point of around 75%. And what I really liked about Houston, and being an Indians fan, this is something that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit, is that Houston was very aggressive with their development timelines for their players. Carlos Correa came up straight from AA. Lance McCullers straight from AA. Vincent Velasquez straight from AA. And then they traded from a position of prospect strength at the deadline, picked up Mike Fiers, picked up Carlos Gomez. They got Scott Kazmir as well. Houston is not a small market. It's a huge, bustling metropolis of a city. But the Astros operate like a small market team. I think it should give progressive, saber-minded organizations a lot of hope for the future. Very happy to see them make it. The question is, will they have made it for more than one game? Tuesday night, Masahiro Tanaka against Dallas Keuchel at Yankee Stadium. Really interesting pitching matchup here. Tanaka has shown some command troubles throughout the season. He's been able to stay in the rotation despite that UCL trouble that he's had. The Astros punished mistakes. So if Tanaka's making mistakes with his command, specifically with the fastball, you know, Houston can take advantage of the short dimensions down the lines. On the other side, there's Dallas Keuchel, who has an impressive strikeout rate this year, but he's also an extreme ground ball guy, and that adds a lot of pressure on the fielders on this Houston team, and this Houston team is very young. There's very little postseason experience on this team. And, you know, the Royals did it with no postseason experience and a good defense last year, but, you know, they also had a different set of skills offensively to where Houston, you know, they throw a couple balls away, they fumble some balls in the infield, whatever else, they go down by two or three. They're not going to manufacture runs the way that the Royals can. They're going to have to get a couple guys on and hit a bomb, tie the game or take the lead. So the margin for error is very, very small for the guys behind Dallas Keuchel on Tuesday night. But looking at this one, Keuchel and the Astros, a small favorite, basically across the market. I see as low as minus 110. as high as -123. I have to think here that I probably like Keuchel and the Astros. Keuchel, being left-handed, has the ability to shut down some of New York's more productive hitters. And also, again, Tanaka. I'm a little bit wary of those command problems that he's had. So looking at the two wildcard playoff games, I like the Astros in the American League. I like the Pirates in the National League. We'll see what happens with those two games. Some other American League playoff thoughts. The Royals managed to get home field from the Blue Jays. I was very surprised by that. They're going to host the winner of that Yankees-Astros game. I think both wildcard teams have a great, great shot at upending the Kansas City Royals. The Royals' rotation is a mess. Their bullpen having some serious issues. Greg Holland now out. Wade Davis has had a stiff back that's caused him to miss some appearances lately. Ned Yost has kind of been relying on Danny Duffy in some high-leverage situations because he doesn't have Brandon Finnegan anymore. I don't really think that that's a great matchup for the Royals in the playoffs. If I'm the Royals, I would much rather see the New York Yankees. And here's why. Because Houston is a much better defensive team than the Yankees. And the Royals, they don't hit for a lot of power, but they put a lot of balls in play. The Astros +27 defensive runs saved entering today's regular season finale. The Yankees -35 defensive runs saved. Big swing there, 62 defensive runs saved swing in between the Yankees and the Astros. On the other hand, the Astros are more likely to run into offensive troubles, even against a bad rotation. They're going to rely on the long ball. Another element, however, of that, the Royals, their biggest edge here in the playoffs, it was last year, it is this year, is their ability to play defense. They are an elite defensive team. They're the top defensive team in the American League. And the one thing about the Astros and hitting home runs and hitting for power is that that's a way that you can mitigate a team's defensive advantage. So if the Royals run into the Astros, I think there are two things really working against them: Houston's defense and Houston's power. So if I'm the Kansas City Royals, I hope the Yankees win that one-game playoff. I'm not sure if they do. I will definitely be looking for a series price on the Astros if they play the Royals. And unfortunately, I'd probably look at a Royals price against the Yankees. I don't know if I'd want to lay it necessarily, but I just don't think that New York is a good matchup for Kansas City at all. Rangers and the Blue Jays in the other series, I think it's a very interesting series on the surface, but I'm not sure how much of a series it will be. The Blue Jays, they don't get home field advantage, but I think they luck out because they get to play in two great offensive parks in this series. Rogers Center, a launching pad for them, the ballpark in Arlington, Globe Life Park, another launching pad for this Toronto offense. You got a pitch-to-contact rotation for the Rangers against the Blue Jays offense that makes a lot of solid contact. That's going to be a very tricky matchup for the Rangers. The Blue Jays with David Price and Marcus Stroman, I think they can take advantage, get off to a good start in this series. Cole Hamels was pretty good in September, had some issues in August, including a little groin problem. But if the Rangers go home down 2-0, this series is over. Jeff Banister worked the bullpen really, really hard in the final week. So we'll see if there's any kind of carryover from that, especially because some of those bullpen guys for the Rangers, not particularly proven, especially from a high-stress standpoint. Another thing about this series, I think it's a lot easier to shut down the Texas lineup than the Toronto lineup. I said this a while back. I said this when Texas was kind of being a surprise team in May and June, that there wasn't a whole lot of depth to their lineup. The lineup was very top-heavy with the Shields, Chu, Fielder, Beltre. Once you get down to the bottom of the lineup, I don't think there are that many guys that can hurt you. The Blue Jays, I think it's a little bit different, especially if Troy Tulowitzki is going to hit sixth in their postseason lineup. I mean, that's just the definition of deep. From a rotation standpoint, I mentioned Price and Stroman already. The wild card here is Marco Estrada, because Texas gets a lot of production from left-handed bats: Mitch Moreland, Shin-Soo Chu, Prince Fielder. Estrada's changeup is enough to neutralize those Texas left-handed hitters. So I really, really like Toronto to advance in this series. To be honest with you, I think Toronto is a team that comes out of the East. The playoffs have a lower run environment, as I said earlier in the show. In theory, that should hurt Toronto. But since the All-Star break, they're one of the top teams in ERA. We debate the merits of ERA, of course. But they've gotten a lot of their pen issues resolved. They're a very solid defensive team, especially since they got Jose Reyes out of there, because he's kind of been declining defensively. So I really, really like Toronto to make quick work of the Rangers in that series. So right now, my World Series pick, I would go with the Mets and the Blue Jays. If the Pirates can get through that one-game playoff against the Cubs, you know, I'd maybe take a little bit longer of a look at the National League because I think they have an easier division series against St. Louis than the Mets have against the Dodgers. On future episodes here of the Better Sox throughout the month of October, I'll of course give additional playoff thoughts on the series as they go along, picks on the ALCS, the NLCS, the World Series, all those types of things. But also beginning on Thursday, I'm going to start looking ahead at 2016, division by division. For fans of 20 teams out there, sorry, but your season ended on Sunday after game 162. It's really sad to see the end of baseball season because in a lot of places it means bad weather and snow and nobody likes that. But I'm going to isolate some of the biggest storylines from each division. I'll start with the AL East on Thursday, AL Central next Sunday, AL West the following Thursday, and so on. Give some early projections for next season before all the fun of trades and free agency. Talk about team needs, all those types of things. So that'll cover the next six episodes of this show. So those will wrap up on October 25th, and we'll see where the playoffs are from that point. Don't forget about our Bang the Book app in the iTunes store. College Football Podcast on Monday, myself and Kyle Hunter. Gridiron Gambling Report, myself and Cole Ryan on Tuesday. NHL team previews, NBA, college basketball, playoff series, Major League Baseball previews, all kinds of excellent stuff at Bang the Book. Please make us your home for Major League Baseball playoff betting coverage. I know it's a little bit shorter of an episode tonight. You know, I think I covered a lot of things. Remember to hit me up on Twitter, at Skating Tripod, if you want to ask me anything about series prices, you know, what I'm talking about with middling, live betting, all those types of things, always available on that social media platform. Remember that you'll never strike out when you're in the bettor's box, everybody. Thank you for listening. I will talk to you again on Thursday. Enjoy the wild card games, and good luck to everybody out there.